Jesus opens the Sermon on the Mount by naming those who are blessed in the reign of God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Please pray with me. God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Grace and peace to you from the one who blesses the unlikely, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A note to begin, you'll have to forgive me if I stutter and stumble or whatever, if I butcher words. This new medication I'm taking gives me bad cotton mouth, so I'll try to speak succinctly so that you can understand. Speaking of which, I'm just going to get my water now. The Beatitudes. The Beatitudes, these 8 blessings of Jesus that we read in our gospel, heard in our gospel this morning, are very well known, yet they are one of the most confusing and misunderstood pieces of scripture. For those of you who are Monty Python fans, you probably know the reference of them standing on the hill trying to hear Jesus blessings and just really butchering them. Even if you're not a Monty Python fan, it's funny. Check it on YouTube. So they're confusing, they're misunderstood, and it doesn't help that within our culture, this word blessed has been made a mess of. It's been skewed. Our understanding of what it means to be blessed, at least as God blesses, that is. Today, blessed is often understood to be some sort of reward, often in the form of wealth, health, and knowledge. Hashtagged blessed accompanies a photo of a new car purchased, or a clean and clear examination from the doctor, or a graduation celebration in anticipation of life's next chapter. Today's rendition of blessing is much different. It's much different than what Jesus is communicating in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessing is more than a contentment or having all the things. To begin to understand Jesus' words here, we need to go back a few verses in what we heard in last Sunday's gospel. Matthew 14:4:17 reads, From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." These words in Matthew's gospel is how Jesus kicks off his ministry as he begins by calling the disciples, preaching the good news, teaching about God's kingdom, and healing the sick and afflicted. This proclamation of repent is often presented as a moral call to set aside the ways of sin and turn to God in righteous living. It is wrongly preached and taught in a way to expose, motivate, and admonish people in what is often the deliverer's own understanding of moral righteousness. This couldn't be more wrong, brothers and sisters. The Greek word here for repent is an imperative, or for us non-English majors, it is a command. It's more accurately understood if we were to translate it around the Greek than what our English Bibles tell us. It's more easily understood or accurately to be read, "Be of a new mind. Change your way of thinking or wrap your mind around this." And what does Jesus command of his listeners? To be of a new mind? The kingdom of heaven has come near. The Beatitudes are part of this new way of thinking Jesus is calling for. "Blessed are they," Jesus says. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake." Jesus' statements of blessed here, unlike the word for repent, are not a command. They are in the indicative form, meaning that they are statements of facts. These blessings are statements of facts. Declaration of what is. Jesus is declaring to those he's teaching that those ones who aren't here, who are deeply hurting, rejected, and persecuted, are indeed blessed. But how? Why? Because in God's kingdom, those to whom God draws near to now isn't about reward and prosperity. In spite of their struggles, God honors them by seeing them, being with them, declaring them as beloved children. Just as Libby was named and claimed and blessed in her baptism, as were all of you. Human values are turned on their heads as God has put away shame and prosperity culture. In God's kingdom, joy and happiness is no longer attached to wealth, to having enough, to a good reputation, power, possessions of the goods of this world. The joy of God's blessing for those impoverished spiritually, fiscally, and socially. Now, this is terribly hard for us to see, for us to even fathom. It goes against everything we've learned in our time on this world. And so it begins, as Jesus' ministry does, with repentance. Jesus commands us to be of a new mind, to change our way of thinking, to wrap our mind around what God's inbreaking kingdom blesses without condition. This declaration of Jesus puts no conditions of faith or even knowing Jesus altogether. This is the way it is, Jesus says. This is how God creates salvation. Jesus lavishly blesses those in this world that the world doesn't have time for. Jesus blesses those who wouldn't receive a blessing as it's determined by today's standards. Jesus blesses the people in pain, people who work for peace instead of profit, people who exercise mercy instead of vengeance. Well-known Lutheran pastor and author Nadia Bolz-Weber writes a new Beatitudes for us today. Have a listen. Blessed are the agnostics. Blessed are they who doubt, those who aren't sure, who can still be surprised. Blessed are they who are spiritually impoverished and therefore not so certain about everything that they no longer take in new information. Blessed are those who have nothing to offer. Blessed are the preschoolers who cut in line at communion. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You are of heaven and Jesus blesses you. Blessed are they for whom death is not an abstraction. Blessed are they who have buried their loved ones, for whom tears could fill an ocean. Blessed are they who have loved enough to know what loss feels like. Blessed are the mothers of the miscarried. Blessed are they who don't have the luxury of taking things for granted anymore. Blessed are they who can't fall apart because they have to keep it together for everyone else. Blessed are those who still aren't over it yet. Blessed are those who mourn. You are of heaven and Jesus blesses you. Blessed are those who no one else notices. The kids who sit alone at middle school lunch tables. The laundry guys at hospitals, the sex workers and the night shift street sweepers, blessed are the forgotten, blessed are the closeted. Blessed are the unemployed, the unimpressive, and the underrepresented. Blessed are the teens who have figured out ways to hide the new cuts on their arms. Blessed are the meek. You are of heaven and Jesus blesses you. Blessed are the wrongly accused, the ones who never catch a break, the ones for whom life is hard, for Jesus chooses to surround himself with people like them. Blessed are those without documentation. Blessed are the ones without lobbyists. Blessed are foster kids and special ed kids and every other kid who just wants to feel safe and loved. Blessed are those who make terrible business decisions for the sake of people. Blessed are the burned out social workers and the overworked teachers, the pro bono case takers. Blessed are the kind-hearted football players and the fundraising trophy wives. Blessed are the kids who step between the bullies and the weak. Blessed are they who hear that they are forgiven. Blessed is everyone who has ever forgiven me when I didn't deserve it. Blessed are the merciful, for they totally get it. Lord knows that in the struggles of depression that I have been poor in spirit. God knows the deep mourning of holding a lifeless son. And only God fully knows what I endure on Jesus' account. I imagine you too, if you reflect deeply on these blessings, can see God's presence of Christ blessing you. Perhaps at this moment you're experiencing pain, grief, or rejection. You and I both can witness to the blessing extended through Christ. A peace that goes beyond understanding. A presence that only the Savior of the world could bestow. While we might easily or not see ourselves in this text and personalize Jesus' blessing, such as, "Blessed am I when I mourn," Jesus doesn't frame the text in that way. Jesus' teaching mostly consists of, "Blessed are they." Now, we do surely find ourselves as part of that they group. And certainly in this big crowd Jesus is addressing, there are mourners, there are thirsters for righteousness, there are the peacemakers. However, Jesus is calling their attention and our attention away from ourselves and toward those who are missing. His proclamations invite us to ask the questions. Who is it I know who is gentle and merciful and pure of heart? And do they know that they are especially blessed? These Beatitudes are not about changing other people. They are about changing us. To change our way of thinking, to see and bless as God does. To see God's ever-expansive love and blessings poured out upon those who wouldn't otherwise be blessed. The Beatitudes also do not describe the different kinds of good people who go to heaven. One might begin to think Jesus here is setting up the conditions for a blessing. Jesus here is listing declarations of blessedness for his hearers. It's not about how can I be a peacemaker or how can I become poor in spirit. This list of Beatitudes goes beyond a list of should do's. They are a declaration to be responded to. It calls us to a new way of thinking, asking questions like, what does it mean if the true reality of the world is a place where those who mourn are blessed and where those who are meek inherit the earth? How do Jesus' blessings change our view of the world? And what is the reality of God's truth? Blessed are they. Jesus was God's beatitude, God's blessing to the weak in the world that admires only the strong, because that is God's true nature. Amen.